We're turning, please, to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and reading from the first verse again. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out a mote out of thine eye? Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just again unite in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the opportunity of coming again around thy word. We thank thee for the promise that is given here, that if we ask, we'll receive, if we seek, we'll find, if we knock, then the door will be opened. And so our God, we come to thee with confidence and with boldness because we come to a God who's in heaven. And Lord, if the word points out the imperfection of our earthly fathers, yet Lord, there's no imperfection with thee. We thank that thou art always and concerned about our welfare. So our God, we pray that thou wouldst give our thanks for thy answers to prayer. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst abundantly answer prayer today as we meet around thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. I'm looking at verses 7 to 12 today of this portion of Scripture speaking about prayer. A few years ago, there was a Norwegian teenager who dialed a secret phone number for the White House. And he asked to speak to the President of the United States. And he said, I just wanted to talk to him. I have a wee chat, invite him to Iceland and see what he's saying. And he pretended to be the president of Iceland. And he was astonished to find that he wasn't put through straight away, but he was passed through a switchboard to a higher office who were screening him for security reasons. And he was asked a series of personal questions in attempt to verify his identification. He never did get through to the president. And later he was taken from his home for questioning by the local Norwegian police. No charges were filed in the end. We live in a world in which not only do top leaders need to guard their privacy, but we all do. Many of you probably are plagued at home with phone calls from people telling you that there's something wrong with your computer or that you have missed out on a fortune by not claiming missold insurance that you had years ago. And we know that if we put our personal details on the internet, that it can get into the wrong hands. So it's not only the leaders of this world that need to be concerned with their privacy, but we all do, but especially those that are higher up. And we think of how they guard their privacy so that their time is not misused. But the God of heaven is not like that. He has opened the way that all his people can approach him. We think of how the Bible speaks of this comforting thought of the fact that God is open to the cries of his people. Somebody once likened life to the journey of Abraham, who went out not knowing whether he went. And even though he did not know where he was going, Abram was perfectly happy and content in his life. And an old Puritan put it like this. He said that Abram went out not knowing whether he went, but he did know with whom he went. And that's why he was content. He knew with whom he went. And we know the one who is willing to answer our prayers. The one who cares for us. The one who understands all about our situation. And life is full of perplexities and trials. And there are many storms that beat on the frail vessels of our life. But it's good to know that we have a Father in heaven whose ears are open to our cry. And I want you to notice that God is delighted with our prayers. You'll notice that he bids us come, indeed commands us to come. The word ask and seek and knock there are imperatives. It is a command. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And he does not promise us that life will be a bed of roses and there will be no thorns, but he does promise that in the midst of the difficulties of life and in the storms, that he is there to meet us at the point of our need. So this is a gracious promise. And you know, we need to know how to seek him and to cry unto him. And we need to heed the command that he's given, that we need to pray. None of us, I think, will be able to say that our prayer life is all that we'd want it to be. I don't think that there is one of us that would not think that there is some improvement in the place of prayer. We come like the disciples to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Andrew Murray wrote one time, Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, only how to pray. He did not speak much of what was needed to preach well, but much of praying well. To know how to speak to God is more than knowing how to speak to men. Not power with men, but power with God is the first thing. Jesus loves to teach us to pray. So today what we want to do is try and learn more about the place of prayer. And we need to see how God is the God of answered prayer. So what we want to do today is just look very simply at what the Bible has to say here about answered prayer. And the first thing I want you to see is the properties of answered prayer. You notice how he puts it here in verse 7 in particular. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So you notice that there are three forms or properties of prayer that are there. Prayer is not always the same. Sometimes it's asking, sometimes it's seeking, sometimes it's knocking. And it seems that there are different properties of prayer that are indicated there in the verse. First of all, prayer is asking. And the word translated ask there is a word that just means to beg or to crave. You think of the homeless people sitting on the streets begging. Sometimes they're a nuisance to people that are passing by. Maybe sometimes they're bolder than they should be in approaching people. But nevertheless, maybe if we were in the same position as they were, we would be bold as well. We would want to make sure that we were provided for and our family was provided for. So prayer is asking. Now, it's not just simply asking. We need to remember that prayer is also thanksgiving to God, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that our requests be made known unto God. And we will see that in a wee minute. We need to worship God in our prayers as well as asking. But nevertheless, prayer is asking. It is bringing our needs to God. We need to bring all our needs. And whatever those needs may be, they might be big. They might be to do with the needs of the world, with the needs of revival, for the needs of feeding the hungry, or whatever it may be, especially for the need of salvation. for men and women. Or it may be just down to our own personal needs or family or something that happens during the day. No matter how big it may be or how small it may be, we can bring that to the Lord and we can ask and thank God for the fact that God is open to all requests, no matter how big or how small they may be. Not only is prayer asking, but it's seeking. Now, the thought of seeking is the thought of searching. Searching for something. You think of the parable of the lost coin and how the woman searched through the house. And you know, if you were to lose something that was valuable to you, you wouldn't give up until you had found it, or at least you had given up all hope that it ever would be found. You'd go to great lengths. You would spend time and you'd spend your energy looking everywhere. You'd be thinking about where you'd last been or where you'd last seen the thing. And you would go back and maybe you'd check a different, a few times. You'd go through the pockets of your trousers, your suit or whatever it may be, in your handbag or whatever the case may be. You'd be searching for it. And that would remind me of persistence. It reminds me too of fervency. We need to be persistent in our prayers. It's not only asking, but it is seeking with that persistence. In Luke chapter 18, the Lord speaks of the importunate widow who came to the unjust judge asking for help, that he might give her the help that she needed. And at first the unjust judge was not willing to give her what she needed, but because she came again and again and again, eventually he was worn down and he gave her the very needs that she had. And you know, the Lord is not like an unjust judge. Thank God he's a heavenly Father. And that's the point that is made later on in this portion of Scripture. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So he's not an unjust judge. But we need to come time and time again. We need to come regularly to the place of prayer. And how we feel in that. You know, sometimes perhaps you've come, particularly at the start of a new year, and you've said, well, I will be more diligent in my prayers and in seeking the face of God. And maybe that's continued for a few days or a few weeks. And then maybe other things enter in, and maybe just at the time you're going to pray, there are other things that draw away your attention, and maybe the resolution begins to slip. And it's not very many weeks until the resolution itself is completely forgotten. No, prayer is something that is persistent. We think of the Apostle Paul who said, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, I follow after. I'm seeking. I am constantly seeking the blessing of Almighty God upon my life. So prayer is asking and prayer is seeking. And then prayer is knocking. Now, knocking, of course, is a noisy activity. Now, if you're seeking for something, you can do that with persistence, but you might do it silently. You might be going here and there, looking in the different places, and you do it silently, and maybe, perhaps at times, you don't have much hope that the thing will be there, but hoping against hope, you're searching through a drawer, opening something that you think maybe somehow it might have fallen in there. You know, when you go and knock at a door, you expect the answer. If you think that the person is in at all, you'll expect them to come to the door. Very unusual thing if you go and knock on somebody's door and you hear them inside, unless they haven't heard the knock or the doorbell is broken or something like that. But if you knock hard enough at the door, you'll expect that somebody will come and open the door to you. And I think that's the thought here about knocking. It's not only persistence that we have in seeking, but it's persistent with expectation. You're expecting that you'll get the answer. And that's what knocking is about, I think. You think of the psalmist in Psalm 5 and verse 3. He said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And the words look up there means to look up with expectancy. He was looking for the answer. If you remember what the Lord said in Mark 11 and 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire that ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, do we pray with expectancy? Do we pray with faith? You know, James said, ye have not because ye ask not. And sometimes that's the problem. We don't ask because we don't expect. If you expect nothing, you get what you're expecting. Nothing. And we shrug our shoulders sometimes and said, well, you never know what God can do. And well, we never will know what God can do if we don't come to God with faith in our hearts. The problem is that we don't have that sense of expectancy. We need to be like the disciples who said, Lord, increase our faith. So prayer is asking and seeking and knocking. So there you have the properties of answered prayer. But secondly, I want you to see the promise of answered prayer. Because the verse says again, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And the Lord here makes these promises about answered prayer. If we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we find. If we knock, the door will be opened. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Or Luke 11 and verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, does that mean then that God gives us whatever we ask, no matter what our petition may be? No matter what we ask, here's carte blanche. No matter what you ask, anything at all, God will give it to you. Many would quote that verse, and that is what they would say it means. They say, whatever you ask, whatever it is that you want, God will give it to you if you ask in faith. And there are many people that are disappointed because that request is not answered. And when some particular request is not granted, we think that God has come short and has promised there that if we ask, we'll receive, if we seek, we'll find, and so on, and so forth. But you know that God cannot answer all the requests of his people, because some requests are contradictory. Some of God's people will be praying for one thing, and some other of God's people could be praying for something completely the opposite. Sometimes we as God's people pray prayers that are just plain foolish. Indeed, it is a mercy sometimes that God does not answer all of our prayers. I can think of prayers that I asked for, and at the time I was in earnest, and at the time I thought that that was what was right and what was good, but the Lord didn't answer that prayer because what was the Lord doing? Well, the Lord was looking at the real desire of my heart. He was looking what was the real good. And here we were asking perhaps for specifics. And the Lord was looking at the real desire and he was bringing that about. And maybe it's sometimes the specific request was not answered. But God was answering the prayer in a broader sense and a fuller sense. So because God knows the end from the beginning. You know, sometimes we think, well, the immediate answer hasn't come. But it's all in the mind or in the will and the plan of Almighty God. We were praying for the mission there. And we prayed to God that God would bring in people and that God would bring in the locals and that God would bring in unsaved people. And all those prayers were answered. We asked and we received. We sought and we found. Now, there may be some individuals that we prayed for and we asked about, and those particular individuals didn't come in. Does that mean that God hasn't answered what we asked? And it doesn't mean that, because God has his own plan and purpose. Maybe that individual God will bring in at some other time. Or maybe God knows that if they'd come in at that time, it wouldn't have been right. But God has some other circumstances to bring about in their life. And God knows the prayer that we made. And he knows the end from the beginning. He knows all the circumstances. And he knows when it is right. So, it doesn't mean carte blanche that God answers every specific request that we make. But I do say that God answers our prayers in some way or other. Now, let's look at what it says here. What can we learn about what the Lord says, ask and ye shall receive? What does it then really mean? What does it mean? Well, I want you to look at what it says. You look at the context in which the promise is set. And we need always to be careful as we've been looking at these portions. We have seen this time and time again, that you need to set all that you have in the context. And what is the context in which the promise is given? Well, you notice that it is the context in which the Lord has been explaining that we don't judge others, that we don't try to take the mote out of our brother's eye when there's a beam in our own. He speaks about harboring bitterness, or about the danger of having hatred in our hearts, and all these things. And he sets this tremendously high standard. And the reaction to all that would be, if we're right, who is sufficient for these things? He says, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. You know, when we look at the high standards of God, we are brought down to humility. We recognize that there is no way that we can fulfill this. We can't meet this high standard of God in ourselves. And that's the context in which I believe that the Lord directs us to pray. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. It's in the context in which we have been led in humility at the feet of the Lord, and we come to ask for grace, and we ask for help, and we ask for power to stand in the day and generation in which we live. And in that context, God will always answer that prayer. So we notice here the context. You see, we have to ask the way that God wants us to ask. You know, if you have a child, and the child comes to you and says, I want a biscuit. And you say to the child, no, you say, please, can I have a biscuit? And the child will not say, please, can I have a biscuit? Just says, give me a biscuit. Now, you're not just so willing to give the child the biscuit unless it asks in the way that you wanted to ask. And then you say to the child, say thank you after you've asked. And we have to ask in the way that God wants us to ask. We need to come with humility of mind before the Lord. So we notice the context in which the promise is given. But look at also the characters to whom the promise is given. The Lord is not speaking to everyone here in the context. The Lord is not inviting everyone in the world to ask and it will be given, and seek and he shall find. He's speaking to a specific group. Who is he speaking to? He is speaking to his disciples. Matthew chapter 5 verses 1 to 2 says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So this is a promise to the Lord's disciples. It's a promise to the Lord's people. Not everyone. If you're unsaved today, you cannot come and expect God to answer your prayer when you're in rebellion against him. You cannot do that. He's not your father. We come to God as a father. You can't do that in your sin. You can't expect God to answer. This is a promise to God's people. And we always need to remember that. Always keep it in the context. So we see the context of the promise and the characters of the promise. But I want you to see the conditions of the promise. And we need to go to the rest of the scriptures to see this, because always God's promises of answer to prayer are always set in the context of conditions. For example, turn over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And there we read one of these promises of answer to prayer. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So again it is, if we ask anything, ask and ye shall receive. This is the same promise again. But look at the wee word that's answered out of it. If we ask anything according to his will. So you have to ask according to the will of God. How do we know the will of God? Well, we need the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in tune with the Word of God. You need to pray with that closeness to the Lord. You think of people with the power of prayer and the gift of prayer. Prayer like men like Martin Luther or Praying Hyde and George Mueller. What made them powerful in prayer? Because they knew what God wanted them to pray. They were in touch with God and they knew their heart was in tune with God. And they knew that what they were, they prayed, and what they prayed was what God was prompting them to pray. And that's why their prayers were answered. We need also to pray in faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember in Mark chapter 5 and verse 36, the ruler of the synagogue came to the Lord Jesus and was looking for his daughter to be healed that was already dead by the time he came, although he didn't know that. But you know what the Lord said to this man? He said, be not afraid, only believe. We need to believe. And then we need to be fervent. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need zeal in our praying. So there are conditions of answered prayer. The Lord says, ask and ye shall receive. But we ask in the sense of we come in this humility that he has been put in us in the context of. In we are the people who are fulfilling the Beatitudes, that we're poor in spirit, that we mourn, that we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those are the people who get answers to their prayers. So we notice something then here of the properties of answered prayer. We notice here something of the promise of answered prayer. But thirdly, can I show you the person of answered prayer? And that is the Lord himself. Who is it that we go to? Who is it that we ask? It is the God of heaven. And you know, as we look at this wonderful verse here, we see some things about the God that we ask. And we see, first of all, the availability of God. We said there about the young fellow who tried to phone the President of the United States and got arrested for his efforts. And yet the God of heaven has his way open for us. Indeed, he says, come boldly under the throne of grace, that you might receive mercy, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Thank God, the Lord is always available. We can come to him at any time. There's the availability of God. And then there's the liberality of God. He says, or what man of you, in verses 9 to 11, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, most of us, I'm sure, had good fathers or have good fathers. But you know, even though we have good fathers, there's none that's a perfect father. And we would want to provide for our children as best we can. We want to give them what will make them happy, will make them content, will be of good to them. We wouldn't give them a serpent. We wouldn't give them a rock to feed them on. We wouldn't do those things. And yet here is God. And he's not an imperfect father. He's a perfect father. Archbishop Richard Trench said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of highest willingness. And we as fathers give good gifts to our children. How much more then? How much more will God not give to us? He says he'll give good things to them that ask him. He's our Father in heaven. And we see his liberality. He gives all the good things that we need. Not only do we see his liberality, but his authority. He's able to give all that we need. He's our Father. And we are the ones that go to him. We never need to be self-sufficient or try to be self-sufficient. Because all we need to do is go to the God of heaven. And we need to remember that he is our Father. And you know, we come in relationship. It's not just a matter of getting out of God what we need. But we remember that he's our Father. And it becomes, as we get closer to God, more about the relationship than what we get from him. And that's true of our earthly families, it's fathers. We go to our earthly fathers, and it's more about the relationship that we have than what we get out of them. We never really think of what we get from them. It's just a relationship, and it is the same with our God in heaven. Not only is there the authority of God, but there's the empathy of God. Like a father, the Lord loves us. You say, how does he love us? When you think of that highest demonstration of his love, you go to a hill outside of Jerusalem, not far from the Damascus gate, and look closely at the three men hanging on bloody Roman crosses, and study that awful scene closely, and listen to the jeering crowd, and ponder the meaning of the words spoken by the man hanging on the middle tree. And there you'll have the answer. God, forgive them. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And there you have the answer to God's love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. And if you want to know how much God loves you, then go to the cross. If you think that God is going to deny you something you need, go to the cross. If you think that God is going to withhold from you something that you really will is a matter of spiritual life and death for you, then go to the cross. And you will see a God that loves you. And that God that loves is willing to give us everything that we need. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You know, we've been thinking of Remembrance Day and those that laid down their lives to bring us freedom. Lord Jesus, give us the greatest possible freedom and the greatest possible benefits. And that is through his death there on the cross of Calvary. And he says, ask. Come and ask. And ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. For he is a loving heavenly Father. He cares for you. He understands your need. And he's willing to meet you at the point of your need. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's